where they rise in the blue of heaven's dome. Many years I have spent in that place of sweet content. Those mountains call me back to my Montana.
Welcome to Perception Management with Keith Rogers, located here in beautiful western Montana. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. The phone lines are open. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Today is December 22nd, and we'll be talking here about more on white-collar crimes, but from a different viewpoint here. I want to start the show off tonight here with a little disclaimer, though. In America, there are still a few good cops out there, and there are a host or a plethora of videos you can watch on different media formats or platforms, servers, of what law enforcement is doing. And, of course, I have to say that for this country, in a lot of areas, it shows that there is a systemic rot associated with law enforcement today. And this is because more and more we edge towards fascism and tyranny. And it is taking root. And we can see this all through France, Bolivia, Brazil. I was watching some earlier videos on Brazil. And the people down there say that the cops just love to kill us. And, of course, this was filmed during the build-up to the Olympic Games down there. But it was like open season on people. And they were showing news articles of where cops just unload on a carload of 16, 17, and 8-year-old kids. And, I mean, it's no threat to anyone, you know, just a bunch of kids running around playing or goofing off. Shooting to David there to join. Anyway, the chat room is perceptionmanagementradio.chattango.com. And I have some videos for you tonight. I hope Kenneth has got those queued up for me there. But YouTube is full of videos where the police, sheriffs, FBI, and other agents for the state or governments have clearly gone rogue, as I mentioned. And this would include in my own observations of where I, for decades, used to watch where the cops would seize drugs and then burn them. But today we can clearly see that we rarely ever hear of that. They are now using those drugs that are seized to plant on other people, or conduct their sting operations using informants or snitches who are working with the man so that they don't have to worry about themselves going down for crimes that they may have committed. And this is no different. In the two articles from the Guardian News and New York Times, this is where the FBI was behind all domestic terrorism too, naming the fact that millions of dollars of tax dollars are being used, to set up individuals of these informants. And then, of course, the FBI rushes in there, and as we have, what's his name, Dom DeLuise, here I am to save the day, on Smoking the Bandit there. But anyway, meanwhile, what we see here is all of this is like watching a cop running at full speed down a, say, a main street in some town with his lights going. And the reason is to catch some kid skating on one of those razors or rollerblades or a skateboard. That is verboten. Of course, this is to just, it's to generate revenue. Yeah, just let the kids play. Well, you know, let them enjoy their youth while they're young. But they've caused car crashes in trying to apprehend people. And And like I say, some of these I would say are justified because of the way criminals operate, but other ones are just normal people who are just goofing off every day that want to go out and have some fun. And we realize that everything nowadays needs a permit, and that's the basis of this. And of course, in these investigations, when they come forward, we see that the law enforcement, or the thin blue line, continually protects its own. And they lie about everything. And anyone's free to Google or whatever search engine you use how the old fictional throwdown weapons, they're still in use. No different than over in Israel, where they throw a knife down and after shooting someone and say, well, they came at me with a knife. And these are all protected through the law there, because anytime an officer used deadly force, all they have to say is that I had feared for my life. And this includes shooting someone from 80 yards away in the back, which meant that they were either walking or running away. But what we do find out is there's a massive ego trip. Massive. And you'll see this where they continually talk about, I am the law. You have to listen to what they say. And you'll see this on these, what they call these, First Amendment audits. And those First Amendment audits are the ones where a lot of different people like David from News Now Houston, who I had on the show over a year ago, they just stand out there out front of post offices on public ground, and they just take pictures. And, of course, it's alleged that that's a terrorist activity. Anyway, started off, I guess we got Mike down in Kentucky there before I get into my regular videos and stuff here. So, Mike, good evening. Hope you're having a good evening over there.
Yeah. Am I on?
You're on, young man.
I'm sorry. I hope I wasn't making noise if you were hearing me rattle stuff. I was trying to put some...
No.
Some tea up into the storage bag so it would keep its flavor after opening the box. Anyway, I think there's a webpage called Photography is Not a Crime, mm-hmm. where, you know, they have plenty of stories about that, where people are trying to take video or whatever, and that's what they're telling their tattletale society to look out for, be on the lookout for anything suspicious, and people taking photographs, because, you know, videoing, government buildings,
It's worse than that. When you listen to a cop who says, I'm recording you, fine, huh? But they don't like to be recorded. And also, when they do find out that, say, a driver or a passenger is recording them, they will let the other officers there know that they're being recorded by that stopped vehicle. Yeah. And they'll also walk off camera and say something and make it to the point of where... I'd already turned my camera on. So, you know, in other words, watch what you're saying there, you know, because this is going to be recorded and probably FOIA'd, you know, later on there, because more and more people are waking up and they just go down there and they secure those police video recordings.
Sometimes they have technical problems or something, the file's
yes.
not available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's like the FBI. The FBI can lie to us, but we can't lie to them, supposedly. I suppose they can lie to the FISA court if they want, whether or not they get the rubber stamp. I was listening to Kelso earlier. I don't know if you were, but Trump gave some speech about how the FISA court is highly respected, not for people that really look at it, because it appears to be a rubber stamp. It approves like 90-some percent, 98% or more, maybe 99-point-something percent of any of the
Trump could nuke Trump could nuke the entire Middle East, and Kelso would just applaud him.
I'm afraid so. He can just about do no wrong, or he's our last best option or something. But, the folks in the previous show, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, it's like America is being repossessed. And Hal Rogers and Mitch McConnell and, you know, our elected congressman and senator in D.C. have proposed some kind of legislation, an act, to study rewilding Eastern Kentucky for rebranding it, is what I say, rebranding the rewilding. And it, if you go look at the, just like out west, they're trying to monetize or collateralize the federal lands so they can continue the spending spree. I mean, there's just no, there's no end in sight for this spending spree. There's no real conservatives, I don't think, in there. That's the one thing that the Democrats and the Republicans can agree on, is they must expand the debt so they can, you know, they can pay off whatever's coming due, so they can borrow more. And
well, they just approved another. They just approved, Mike, another $1.4 trillion. The Fed is pumping $75 billion a day into the stock market to keep it afloat, to make it look like it's good, so Trump can get out there and say the stock market's the highest it's ever been. That doesn't apply to anyone in America there. It only applies to those big corporations who are getting those low-interest loans to buy back all those stocks that everyone else is selling to get the hell out of the market, you know.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that's it's a probably a good indication that America is being robbed of whatever's left before everybody jumps off of the flaming B-52 bomber with their golden parachute, or whatever euphemism you want to think of, you know.
Well, yeah, and along that same line there, as I was talking with this so-called police state that we have, you know what's sad is knowing that a lot of these military that come back from service who have PTSD and are probably sedated on some kind of an SSRI drug type thing, and of course you know all the massive side effects from that, they get jobs as law enforcement. And you see them, especially in the sun states like California, Florida, and stuff, where they're always wearing their short shirts and they have their tattoos of the USMC and all that stuff like that on their arms. And it's like, I remember one of these auditors was asking, is that your gang tattoos? And, you know, that really made that cop mad there. And, I mean, you could probably provoke a cop nowadays into shooting you just by questioning his loyalty to the Constitution. And we have that sheriff over in Spokane that said constitutionalists should be compared to ISIS.
Well, I have a, you know, whistleblower kind of situation here that, you know, they might could waterboard me and torture me into saying who it is, but he was a Gulf War veteran and was came back with Gulf War syndrome, was around all the oil well fires and when they blew that mess up at Camisea. And before that, he was a driver for a certain police force, we'll say. And he was the guy that was in charge of going to a big metropolitan area and getting the girls. And he was... he was witness to some of what they do, I think, to back then anyway, to vet their fellow officers. They would rent this entire lodge for several days, and they would raid bootleggers and evidence lockers or whatever, and they'd get about anything anybody wanted, and they'd all have a big soiree, and I would imagine, you know, grab the newer recruits and, you know, take pictures of them in compromising positions and that sort of stuff. So you would have a, you know, a little bit of dirt to rein somebody in if they went off the ranch or decided to leave the thin blue line. And
that's right.
This guy's, you know, somebody I lived close to for a while, and we talked quite a bit on occasion. You know, I have every reason to... believe he wasn't bragging, because I don't know how much longer he's got to live, because he had this, you know, like I say, multiple Gulf War syndrome issues, and he, of course, thought 9/11 was a complete scam, and he said a lot of people that he's talked with, the veterans of his generation, are of the same ilk, the same mindset. So, you know, what I worry that Trump is actually out to do is to polarize America and set us up for a civil war, like what we may see happen in Virginia.
Yeah, you know, Michael Moore's got a There's a good article on Zero Hedge about Michael Moore talking about that Donald Trump is actually breeding a bunch of white angry people.
Well, they've just been kind of the silent majority for a long time, and he's facilitating them, that's for sure. But I think he's also really polarizing the left. I mean, he's just picking at them or provoking them all the time, and not that they're a good shot or anything, but you can see what happened in Virginia. They got every basic seat of power that there was, and of course they're starting to try to flex their muscle against these county sheriffs, and they're, you know, the county sheriffs are talking about deputizing everybody and any gun owner.
Mike, I got a break coming up here, but sure. I'll let you go with this here though. Never view America as the victim, because what you see going on in this country has done to countless millions of other people by destroying their governments, their CIA death squads, and this has been across the Middle East, across Asia, across Central and South America. They've destroyed the unions, the labor reforms, wages, and that's where we're at today with part-time jobs, massive debt, and it's exactly like a third world country today.
Israel's about done with us. They've got everything they want. They got what they want out of Trump, and they're just about done with us.
That new spending bill has got it's got over $100-some million for Israel alone.
Ready to disassemble us and take us apart like a corporation raider, you know, see what they can take apart and abscond with.
Yeah, I heard Israel's going to annex the United States pretty soon.
Well, I wouldn't say that, but they could balkanize it and break it up into, you know, a bunch of small systems. I'll let you go.
All right, my best to you, and of course, that's who's training U.S. law enforcement. So, yeah, you take care. Good talk to you there. But anyway, I have this break coming up here, but as an intro after the break here, I'm going to be playing a clip here. Actually, I'll be playing four clips tonight. I had a whole bunch of them there. They were pretty short there, but these are right off the actual news. So this isn't some YouTube channel that that will be highlighting this. But my premise tonight is talking about rogue cops and how they assert their power upon the citizens of this country. And more you'll see that whenever you were to say to a cop, well, I pay your wages, they do not like to hear that at all. Not at all. And the same thing with if you're standing on public property. They deem that as their turf. And if they want you gone, you're supposed to be gone. So with that, I'll close the phone line here for a minute here, but right after the break here, I'm going to play a video here, and you can listen to the audio here, and we'll be right back.
If you want a lover, I'll do anything you ask me to. And if you want another kind of love, I'll wear a mask for you. If you want a partner, take my hand. Or if you want to strike me down in anger, here I stand.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Well, my friends are gone and my hair is gray. I ache in the places where I used to play. And I'm crazy for love, but I'm not coming home. I'm just paying my rent every day in the Tower of Song. I said to Hank Williams, how lonely does it get? Hank Williams hasn't answered yet, but I hear him coughing all night long above me in the Tower of Song.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Perception Management here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm going to have Kenneth go to my first clip here. It is Deputy Timothy Verdon, who was arrested and charged with attempted manslaughter. And this is after a beach shooting. I almost got my ear blown out from my email. Anyway, Kenneth, can you please play that clip, please?
Out of jail, he's now facing attempted manslaughter charges and his badge and gun taken away.
ABC Action News reporter Clifton French joins us live right now with what the sheriff has to say about how all of this unfolded. Clifton?
Yeah, the sheriff saying his deputy was just flat out lying. He says that this statement from another deputy and this dash cam video shows the entire truth.
The recording of these gunshots is just a piece of the evidence piled up against now former Deputy Timothy Verdon. He shot Dylan Tompkins Holmes while he was handcuffed in the back of this cruiser last month, claiming Tompkins Holmes managed to grab his gun. The video and audio showing a completely different scenario.
Dylan Tompkins Holmes was being mouthy. That's it.
Sheriff Bob Galtieri walked through the entire investigation, showing pictures of the scene and a gun holster, proving his story was a lie.
He has to have taken his hands, come around like this, been able to, while handcuffed, do this, do this, do this, and then get the gun out. Didn't happen.
All while being 3.5 times the legal blood alcohol limit. On top of that, another deputy was on the scene who says Tompkins Holmes never resisted. He turned away for only 2 seconds when the shots were fired. Not enough time for a struggle, which the audio didn't capture anyway.
This is all inconsistent with Deputy Verdon's version of the events.
Tonight, the sheriff is defending his own actions as well. On the morning of the incident, he defended the shooting, explaining the deputy was in fear of his life, saying he gave the public information he had at the time.
This is a 180, but it's a 180 because a man lied. I get it, I hear you, but that's what happened.
That's why it's
and
important
the sheriff
to
also
have these.
Said today, even if...
That's good. That's why it's important to have these internal investigations into all these shootings and such. There are videos also of where ex-law enforcement, one of their instructional things is be cooperative with police, is because once you trigger them, they automatically will throw you to the ground, and then they will scream, "Stop resisting." And they say that audibly enough so that other people in the area will say, "I heard the cop say stop resisting." And that way it backs up the officer's portion of the statement there. And of course, it could be all based on a fraud. Just as another young man was pushed face down, handcuffed, and he had a knee in the back by one officer, and I guess he was being unruly there. And the other officer went to pull out his taser to tase him, and he shot him. And the other deputy looked at him and says, "What'd you shoot him for?" And the cop said, "I don't know." But see, this is that adrenaline rush that people have with power. People are dying from this. More Americans are dying from law enforcement shootings than they are from any alleged terrorism acts. This is the crux of the matter here, is that some entire departments, especially in Florida, have gone totally rogue. And you see this. It's bad enough when you hear of an officer-involved shooting, but that's when the patrol cars, they really start lighting up, and these guys will move at high pursuit, clear across a town to go assist another officer, and believe me, they blow through lights and everything like that. You see even accidents of cops that hit these little dips in the road. They go flying off the road and everything like that because they're just in a frenzy to get the other side of town. And it's all to help this back the blue thing. And rightfully so. But, you know, the point is, though, is when they pull a bunch of officers from one area, with today's scanners and stuff, it opens up a wide variety for other crimes to be taken care of because everyone knows that the law enforcement's clear on the other side of town. Then they can do their dirty work. And I'm going to get into a story about that tonight. About how people are privy to information and they use it for their own advantage, which would make you sick when you hear what the story is. With that, I have another video here coming up here. It's 5 minutes and 26 seconds here, and I'll have Ken play clip number 2 right after the break here. But this one's going to be on civil forfeiture, and this is how they're funding the departments today. They have to give so much, 20% to the Department of Justice, and this is why they go for large cash seizures. And this can be from anyone traveling or whatever. And once they seize the cash, then they get it right back. It goes into the department, and they buy all their fancy equipment, whether it's their body cameras or new assault-type rifles or whatever like that. So we'll be right back after this break here, so stay tuned.
The scene was a small roadside cafe. The waitress was sweeping the floor. Two truck drivers drinking their coffee. Two Okie kids by the door. How much are them candies, they asked her. How much have you got, she replied. We've only a penny between us. them's two for a penny, she lied.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out, Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
All my life I've been so lonesome. If happiness came, I missed the call. All my dreams have been so aimless, and now I'm so tired of it all.
All right, everyone, we're right back here. Welcome back to Perception Management. You're listening to Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. Anyway, I'm going to have Kenneth roll that clip here again. It's 5 minutes, 26 seconds. I may have Kenneth cut it off here short because you'll get the drift about how they're doing this. But this is how they're funding their law enforcement. So, Kenneth, please play that.
Stephen, the Action News investigators first exposed details of this investigation back in December. Tonight we're breaking new ground with something even the police don't have. These guys accused of being rogue cops were actually caught on tape during a drug raid. We've got the recording, and it's not flattering for one of the cops who's now facing criminal charges. You're watching a performance by a rock band called One, Others Not Equal. But this story isn't about heavy metal. It's about allegations of heavy-handed and unprofessional police tactics. The lead singer, Rudy Simpson, says he was a victim of these tactics in a drug raid at his home. It all centers around this man, State Police Lieutenant Luke Davis, who's now facing corruption charges. In June of 2008, the Omni Drug Task Force, headed by Lieutenant Davis, executed a search warrant on Rudy Simpson's Monroe County home. They based the search on an anonymous tip and a marijuana stem they said they found in the garbage. When the cops came in, Rudy's band was practicing in this basement recording studio. What the police didn't know is that the microphones were hot and everything was being recorded. Take a listen.
Hope they're not mixing.
But they were mixing, and two cops take turns singing on the mic, not knowing the whole thing is being recorded.
I love rock and roll.
Looking back on the memory.
While those cops were in the basement, Rudy, his friend Jeremy, and members of the band were taken upstairs, where Lieutenant Davis and other task force members were searching the house. They were shocked by the behavior of the police.
Very unprofessional, almost thuggish.
I felt violated and almost like if it was a game to them.
Going into kitchen cabinets, eating cookies, and going in the refrigerator, eating stuff out of the refrigerator. It was very unprofessional.
And it wasn't exactly a big drug haul for the cops either.
Quarter ounce in the bag.
They found a quarter ounce of marijuana, 12 small seedlings in a pot they claimed were marijuana, and a half a pain pill that Rudy later produced a prescription for. These guys say the police seemed more interested in Rudy's stuff than they were in the drugs they found.
Basically, what I heard them talking about was what equipment, what materialistic stuff could they take out of my house. It seems like, yeah, that they were just trying to figure out what they could come out of here with.
And now, hear it for yourself, caught on the band's equipment that the cops don't know was recording.
Well, we kicked a bunch of booze, right? Well, where are we at? I mean, that's Luke's call, not mine. I was just trying to get paid on. Well, Luke comes down here, he's going to want to take everything. Right. Band, I'm going to say that quarter ounce, at least a quarter ounce, there is going to give us a chance to take all this stuff, you know, according to Luke.
Hey, what do you want to take in the basement? You want to take the drums and all that or not?
The police wound up taking 3 pages worth of stuff from the house, including some of Rudy's personal property, a 52-inch flat-screen TV, a DVD player, 2 computers, a camera, and a bunch of DVDs. Under the law, police are only supposed to confiscate property that was purchased with money earned from drug sales. Rudy admits he was smoking pot, but what evidence did they have that he was selling drugs?
There was none. There was no sales. There was no undercover cops. There was nothing on paper. It was basically an anonymous tip, they said.
The Luke Davis corruption charges raise serious questions.
The reason I wanted to play that clip there was because yesterday a story broke from New York where I believe there were 2 black gentlemen that had a shop, and the cops came in and another one of these drug raids, and they started going all through the place like that, and they started cuffing the people. And it turns out that they, in all this commotion, they were planting drugs. And then right before they left, they realized that up in the corner of the, above the, like pop or beer machine or what you want to call it, coolers, they realized a camera was up there, and so they unplugged it. They didn't seize any of that. So after he got released like that, they went back to the video, and they had the entire video on the entire thing there. And now those cops are under investigation there for setting these guys up, framing 2 totally innocent people. And this is a problem that we have today, is cops that ruin lives. And I mentioned before that I've talked to friends over here that told me that they do have a quota system. I won't mention which department it was, but that's the only way they can get advancement, is they have to make so many DUIs, so many type of drug busts and stuff like that, you know. But that's how it is. And, of course, greed nowadays. And the reason I'm saying that is because there's another video out there on YouTube of a rogue cop who checked in like a roach motel, but he never checked out. He would call in and say he was on the job. That cop makes over $400,000 a year, more than Vice President Pence does. And what he does is he writes these fake tickets as part of a policing thing, whether it's a seatbelt infractions and stuff like that. But whatever he does, he always omits a letter or a numeral from the time. And then he'll spread those out over the day. And he's been this was a long investigation. And then they started covering up for him. So, now here's another one here. And this is where there you go. This is another short clip here. It's only 3 minutes and 44 seconds here. But this is where a cop may cost the city over $1 million. Go ahead.
And only on 7 News, the cop in this surveillance video getting more complaints than most Denver cops.
Officer Sean Miller caught on camera putting a restaurant owner in handcuffs, even though the owner is the one who called police in the first place.
Yeah, this complaint is the 40th in his 10 years on the force, and his behavior is costing you big money.
Only 7 News reporter Marshall Zellinger getting internal records detailing his troubled past.
Eric and Ann, I'm standing just around a sampling of the documents I've been reviewing on Officer Sean Miller. The majority of what you see here we've obtained exclusively from Denver police detailing some of his 40 internal affairs complaints. But what you're about to learn is it's less about the paperwork and more about what the department did not do as a result of the paperwork that was generated, for instance, when Officer Miller had seven or more use of force incidents in 1 year.
We first showed you Officer Sean Miller in 2010, a confrontation with this disabled woman who hesitated letting him into her apartment lobby. This encounter got Miller docked 2 days' pay because his misconduct was detrimental to an innocent citizen and tarnishes the image of the department. This was his 32nd complaint.
The warning signs were being flashed at us. The problem is what we did with them after we got the warning signs.
Denver police opening up the internal affairs files on Miller, who was hired in October 2005. Of the 39 investigated complaints, 17 cited excessive force.
Because he gets 39 complaints doesn't automatically mean he's going to get disciplined. What it should automatically mean is that the department is doing something proactive to change that behavior.
9 times between 2007 and 2010, his behavior resulted in an automatic performance review, essentially a way to address repeat behavior. In 2009, he was reviewed for 3 or more use of force complaints in 3 months. His supervisor wrote, "I recommend a level 0, no response." In 2010, after 3 or more complaints in 3 months, no action is recommended. At this time,
did the system fail for this
That's
officer?
Good.
What I would say is,
yeah, you see, no action, and so a cop gets away with this and repeats, gets away with it, and becomes rogue. They get this superiority type thing there, you know, that they're untouchables, you know. Now, what if you went to a funeral and you're one of those bereaved loved ones? Think of that for a minute. You're off at a funeral, say burying a parent or a wife, a child, or something like that. Well, here's another story. This comes out of Wisconsin in MERS territory over there. A deputy allegedly scoured obituaries, broke into homes of people at funerals. Hey, you got that right. A Wisconsin deputy sheriff is accused of breaking into and burglarizing the homes of people whom she knew would be at a funeral services while she scoured these local obituaries. And this is a Jefferson County Deputy Sheriff Janelle Jericho, who carried this out in a scheme in February 2018 through June 2019. And this is according to the criminal complaint filed last Tuesday here. And what gets me is it takes so long to get this stuff through the court system there. But, you know, this is, again, part of that systemic rot that I see here. Is there is a thin blue line, but when it comes to corruption, it's no different than those in the Congress or Senate or your presidential candidates or leaders of any kind, corporations. This is all white-collar crime, and it's done under the color of law. And like I say, all a cop usually does is they lie, and they believe the testimony of the law enforcement over the individuals. But could you imagine being at a funeral and coming home and find out your entire house has been ripped off or something like that, you know? I was going to play another video here, but I'll just paraphrase it here. But and the phone lines are open, 1-800-313-9443. This was a clip here. It was a short one here, but it was Jackson County Sheriff's deputy faces charges after she shot a woman in the back. And this was her second occasion where she allegedly claims, of course on video it's not alleged, but that a woman had grabbed for her taser and she was shot. And of course they followed the blood to find her and stuff like that. And then here's another one here where over 200 officers raided a Jackson County jail. Yeah, you got that right. 200 officers. In the video, it shows buses lined up out there, 4 or 5 buses, where all these FBI agents stormed a prison and started looking for contraband and stuff. And it all came out that it was involved with the guards and special inmates. And one of the guards was, let me get on down here. It says, 6 busloads of officers and investigators from different law enforcement agencies worked overnight collecting evidence. What I can say is this was no doubt a great surprise to a great number of occupants of this facility. And it goes on down here talking about the two confidential informants. And, of course, they praise the officer's work. And the indictments are here. In one, according to court documents, an informant paid Dickerson $500 to smuggle two packs of cigarettes, a cell phone, and a charger into the detention center. And I have an open mic there. I think it's Kenneth there. And then prosecutors also point to the point out that the inmate charged as Carlos Hughley is reported to have the father of J. Lee Fuller's newborn baby. Fuller was an employee in the jail. So I guess that's a different kind of a conjugal visit there. But like I say, this article goes on talking about the amount of monies that would be transferred back and forth, where it's like almost like if one was to pay $2,300 or $2,500 it was, that they would make sure that inmate who was getting drugs was the only one on that cell floor to be able to distribute the drugs. And that makes him kind of the ward king, I guess you call it. And, of course, that is a constant supply of drugs that these officers would be bringing in. And this just shows you the corruption. And remember, jails used to be where people used to get rehabilitated. And they don't like that nowadays. They want you in there for life because of that slave labor. But anyway, the summary of all this is, is a lot of this is all done without any kind of warrant, especially in these civil asset forfeitures, where they go in and they can either take your money without a warrant, take your vehicle without a warrant, take any of your other property like homes or seize boats and stuff. And this is supposed to be only stuff that's linked to drugs, but they take it all. And then, of course, they leave you defenseless, just like the IRS does. So where you can't even hire an attorney to represent yourself and try to get your money back. Usually when you do that, you get less back. And, of course, it takes years to try to even get it back in the first place. With that, I got a caller online, David in Illinois. Good evening, David.
How you doing? I hope you don't mind this call. I happen to have access to witnessing all this, the things you're discussing, all the way up from confiscation of drugs and selling the drugs to the violence to covering up shootings. There was even shootings where I was right there, where all the way up to the FBI buddies that were there were covering up and how to plan to cover up the shooting.
Mm-hmm.
I was hidden with cops and badges all the way up to the federal level ever since I was a child. I even witnessed them bringing home the other girls and hiding them with me. So, and it's just amazing because you're a child seeing this and, you know, you're just shocked. I mean, after a while, it just, you know, what do you do?
Was younger, I was involved in this junior deputy sheriff's program through the school, and this is long before the DARE program came out in 83. And back then, you remember, this was the days of Adam 12 and chips and stuff like that, or actually a little bit before that, but this was to give a better image to what law enforcement was doing. And, of course, nowadays they have villainized everyone with shows like Cops to target directly Latinos and blacks to make them always look bad and everything like that, you know. And noted there is crime around the blacks and Latinos and stuff. But, of course, you have to look at their lifestyles about how they've been oppressed for so long, you know. But the main portion of this, though, is there are good cops out there. And that's what impressed me to where, as they call it, 10-12s, that's where you ride along with cops. I've always ridden along with cops over here in Montana, Seattle, wherever I've lived like that, you know, because I enjoy law enforcement. I work with them here with my ham radio stuff like that, you know, and I've wired up a lot of their radios, their patrol cars, their lights, all this stuff, you know. I have nothing against cops. I have something wrong with the bad cops.
Yeah, now, as they went and my father got back up into the federal level, there they actually paid the equivalent of bonuses for the more confiscation you acquired, which he said, I don't have to do this under the gun no more. It was amazing. He said, I'm just getting these bonuses. I think the maximum he was able to get per paycheck was $5,000 to $6,000. So then the confiscation just, you know, went just crazy. It's all the way up. But I mean, yes, I agree with you about the black. They showed me how they were able to do to the black individuals. They brag that they can just pin anything they want on them at any time. So they would show this to me. And so they actually brought up and we made the criminal game when I was there. Like I said, the first time I was 7 and they hid me with them for a year and a half until they moved me again. And there's even a well-known case I had information to, me and another individual, and they covered it up because there was not the, they couldn't allow the other, somebody else to find me because they knew I would be questioned in court. And
right.
So,
you know, David, when you were saying that, it reminded me of down in Fort Lauderdale, which is one of those rogue departments there. In the news here recently, a man who has been arrested 250-some-odd times within 4 years was always arrested at the place he worked. And the owner of the business got so pissed off that the cops were coming in there and arresting him, a black worker, you know, profiling, but arresting him on the job while he's stocking shelves and stuff like that, saying that he had committed some crime like that. I mean, this is, like I say, this is why cops get that F the police stuff like that from the black community, the rap songs, all this stuff, which doesn't help the police any.
No, it was always the black community that was targeted. But what happens now and what I've witnessed in these later years is it expanded to now that they know where the money is and they can take you. There was actually a campaign with the feds and the other officers to carry card readers so they could check your accounts when they pull you over. That's how far it's almost gotten to. But he was able to check cars if somebody where they lived, get the profile. If they had a concealed carry, he would kind of know ahead of time probably this person was carrying a decent firearm. So they wanted that firearm. And they would go up to them and say, hey, I know you have a firearm permit. Can I see your weapon? I just want to secure it. And then they would take it after they secured it. And then they would originally, they would sell them. You know, and like I said, I'm right there. So this is stuff that didn't happen.
The biased laws that we have in this country are getting so bad. I mean, even like you'll see a truck that has Trump across the back and the cop, probably a Democrat, is so pissed off at Trump that they stop the vehicle and they try to find anything they can to write that driver up.
Well, he was actually allowing and assisting truck drivers that were bringing in guns. And that's because they had the money. They were able to, I do a favor for you, you do a favor for me.
Right.
So they knew where the bulk money was coming from. It was less they had to do for it. So, you know, I'll look the other way, you do this. I even knew how they were getting the money out of the area and how they were taking it. They would actually take the money to Vegas, fly in there in a private plane that they had a guy that they gave him a badge, and he went there to Vegas. So this way they had no way to check in. They were cops. They showed their badges. They were feds.
Right, gotcha.
There was no check-ins. They just got to walk through the gate.
Right.
And get rid of the cash.
All right, David. Well, I'll tell you what, David. I want to grab another story here because I'm almost out of time here. But I do appreciate you calling in, okay? And thanks for the input, okay?
Yep.
All right. You know that Kaepernick was in the news here a lot for kneeling during the national anthem at the games during the 2016 season. And, of course, it prompted a lot of other NFL players to follow suit. And, of course, this is from the same thing that we're talking about, is the oppression of the blacks, usually from cops targeting that. So, in my life, I have watched people burn the American flag, spit on the American flag, rub their feet on it, mud and everything like that, and that's a thing of freedom of speech. It's protected. There must be a law against it, but it is actually a protected thing. However, what gets me is An Iowa man was just sentenced to about 15 years in prison after burning an LGBTQ flag hanging from a church. Defended him that it was at his church. And of course, we know what the new agenda is that all churches will have to start accepting the LGBTQ, and if not, probably lose their 501c3 charters, and this goes on. But again, these are agendas that are usually meant to divide people for a small population, like Trump's executive order to protect the Jewish community or something like that. And the regular communities, they're not getting protection whatsoever. And more and more, as I mentioned, they're passing these certain laws to protect certain people. Whereas, it all reminds me of the shaping of Brave New World. And, of course, the synopsis of that whole thing was this is where the boys all learn about this hatchery, which is there to produce thousands of nearly identical human embryos. And then during the gestation period that the embryos travel in bottles along a conveyor belt there in a factory-like building. And they're all conditioned to belong to one of the five castes of what kind of humans they want you to be. We know that they're anti-government, anti-war, so you can't have those in there. And yet this nation, all it talks about is peace plans. But if you're anti-war or something like that, you know, you're a target. If you're anti-corruption, which might include your government or your police or something like that, you're also a target. And if you talk about that, you're one of those conspiracy theorists, and the FBI is going to deem you a domestic terrorist. You see the trend. What I see in this country here is a rise in total fascism. And it's being followed in all Western states, whether it's France, down through Bolivia, again, Chile, where cops are giving these, and of course, we know who's training them. And it's just bragged about today that Israel is training the cops down there in Bolivia. Anyone can look that up through the ADL law enforcement training or the CRI training in Las Vegas. They all brag about this stuff, and we wonder why certain people are targeted. And of course, if you look at what's going on in Palestine there, with little kids being shot, others having their legs shot, journalists, medics, and the U.S. says you cannot charge Israel with war crimes. But, you know, I mean, it just shows you that people are being targeted. With that, thanks for joining me tonight. This has been Perception Management. Thank those in the chat room, all those listeners out there, and Kenneth, of course, in the control room for your hard work there, and pet your dog for me, Kenneth. But also David out there who's lurking in the background. But we'll catch you next week there, and hope you enjoyed Stephen's show earlier there, too. So we'll catch y'all later, okay?
Running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.